Wake up, y'all. We got Sixers basketball today. Good morning on this day, Wednesday, October 16th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on. It's your man, James Jackson. Me and Elliot Short Park's been kind of doing the back and forth, this and that thing, but I'm here on Wednesday. He's been holding it down for me a couple of days, and I appreciate him for that. But we are here on a Sixers game day. Yes, they are taking on the Brooklyn Nets tonight. So we'll preview that Nets game a little bit later with my three things to watch for. But you know what we do before we get to that? Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23, on Twitter at ClapYourHandPod. On Twitter as well, because we're tweeting all news. We're going to be live tweeting during the game, tweeting analysis. And of course, me, Elliot, and Jack will saddle up at some point and get you a pod, just like Elliot and I got you a pod yesterday after what I will soon talk about is the biggest news of the day. But first, the schedule breakdown. I already talked about it. The Sixers play the Nets tonight at the Wells Fargo Center at 7 p.m. tonight, play the Brooklyn Nets for their second to last preseason game before they head down to the Orlando Magic to finish out their preseason. They're finally at home. I know it's been a while. It's been since the New Zealand Breakers, which to me barely feels like, you know, a preseason game, barely feels like a game at all. But, you know, they were in Iowa playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. They were in Boston. They were in Atlanta. They're finally at home playing the Brooklyn Nets. So tonight, 7 p.m. For the Sixers. We get now to injury news. And I've been able to skip over this section for, what is this now, our 13th, 14th daily pod together? I've been able to hop right over this section right into regular news. Sometimes it's been very close to this line with news that wasn't really injury news, but still updated on injuries from previous. And now we get actual injury news and update. By now, you guys all know that Paul George suffered, you know, what was a leg injury Monday night against the Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta early in the game. And then reports came out on Tuesday, late Tuesday, that he had an MRI and the MRI showed no structural damage to that left knee. So that is good. The Sixers reported that obviously there's no structural damage to that left knee, just has a bone bruise on that left knee. So Paul George got an MRI on Tuesday, confirms that bone bruise to his left knee, but again, no structural damage. So he avoids major injury, has no tear, has no separation or strain even of anything, a bone bruise in that left knee. He's going to be reevaluated in 1 week. So that's 1 week from Tuesday. So next coming Tuesday, 6 days from now, he will be reevaluated to see if he can play, or let's see when he can play. I won't even say if he can play in the home opener or just when he can play, when he could go again for the Sixers. There's good and bad news with that report. Obviously, it's good news that he avoided major injury because that play did not look good. You've all seen the play by now. You've all seen the still image from whatever angle, that the angle, you know, from behind him is wild. But you've all seen the image that whenever a knee bends and locks like that, that's just never good for let alone a 34-year-old with some injury history. He was able to walk off on his own power. He actually, like me and Elliot talked about in the podcast yesterday, he stayed in the game even after that little tweak happened until the next dead ball, and then he was taken out. So he didn't immediately come out the game and walked off under his own power. You can see he was gingerly, though. But it didn't look good, but no major injury for Paul George. The silver lining. The not so good part about it is obviously just the fact that he's injured before the season even starts. So my goodness, we can't even make it out of preseason. We're dealing with one injury to one of our major stars, our biggest superstar, former MVP, dealing with something nagging. And now our biggest, you know, kind of acquisition in the offseason now goes through this before we even get meaningful basketball to start. So that's just a gut punch in itself right there. But even though it's not a major injury, a bone bruise is nothing light. Like, bone bruises are one of those tough, nagging injuries that can take weeks, even months, when it's at its worst, to heal. It's one of those injuries that you can't, like, repair. There's no surgery for it. There's no, like, you know, real way or specific rehab. The only good rehab for it is rest, right? It's the Rice method. You know, rest, ice, was it compression, elevation? Like, that's literally good WebMD how you heal a bone bruise. It's going to tell you ice it. It's going to tell you lay off of it. It's going to tell you avoid playing contact sports like basketball for a little bit until it heals. That's all you can do for it. That's all PG can do. So it's just when he feels good again. It's just when he feels like it's ready to go, when his knee and his body decides they're ready to go and play again. So it's tough to gauge a timetable. And we will see when that reevaluation happens, what he looks like or when he's going to go. At this point, we can pretty much rule him out for the season opener. I bar some miracle on that reevaluation in a week, I doubt he's going to be ready to go. And even if he is ready, quote unquote, to go, I might even hold him out. Just, you know what? Just make sure you're 100% healthy, man. Let's not even, just for all our peace of minds, even. Like, just not, let's not even rush this thing. There's no reason to rush this thing. As much as, you know, it would make us feel good that you're all of a sudden ready to go in a week. You know, maybe the smartest thing is to just make sure you're 100% whenever you are 100%. PG was looking really good before that knee injury. Had the breakout game against the Wolves. And then even the start against the Hawks, he was looking good at 8 points, 2 rebounds, and assist in 12 minutes before he exited the Hawks game. So, like, he's doing what PG was billed to do. Nick Nurse was, you know, really impressed by how he looked, calling him a bucket getter yesterday at practice, just in his first kind of impressions with him in his first two preseason games with the team. So, look. It's not demoralizing, but it's just really tough. Like, of course this happens to us in preseason, but it is preseason. We have a long season to go. PG will be back. Nothing major to report there as part of injury. We are possibly looking at an opening day that features no Embiid or PG. Although with this injury to PG, I hope that there's an emphasis to Embiid to really make sure he's playing in the home opener to not leave Maxey out there. But even still, this makes Tyrese Maxey undoubtedly the most important player on the Sixers and maybe even the most important player in the NBA. Because he has to now keep the Sixers afloat, at least for in the beginning of the season, while his two co-stars have, you know, something that they have to figure out. Right? Maxey is the only one of the big three who's 100% ready to go. So he's going to have to hold it down. There's no question it's Maxey's team. We run with Mad Max. He's going to have to hold it down to start the season. But that is the news from PG. That's the only Sixers news really that's going on, but really that matters. Even if there's anything else that's going on, I don't care. That's the only thing that matters with PG. Paul George suffers that bone bruise. He will be reevaluated in 1 week, and we all do whatever dance and pray whatever to whatever gods that it's a good evaluation and he's back as soon as possible. All right, I'm about to take a break. On the other side of this break, we preview the Nets matchup tonight at the Wells Fargo Center. I give you my three things to watch for in that Nets game. Stay tuned. Welcome back, y'all. This is game day. Sixers morning clap your hands update, your man James Jackson. I feel like the last couple of times this happened to shake this way, when I've been on the daily pods, they've been game days. When Ellie's been on the daily pods, they've been off days. The basketball gods must love me, man. I love talking basketball. I love previewing actual games. I held it down for a long time before we had real basketball, so I deserve that. I really do. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at JimmyJ23. Make sure you're following the pod on Twitter at Clap Your Hands Pod on Twitter as well, bringing you all the latest and greatest Sixers stuff. It's time to preview tonight's game against the Brooklyn Nets at the Wells Fargo Center, 7 p.m. tonight. My three things to watch for as the Sixers go into battle against the Brooklyn Nets. It is preseason. It is the Nets. So let's not get too ahead of ourselves, but they do go take on the Nets tonight. So first thing I'm looking for is really how the offense, you know, comes out to start. It's going to be interesting to see what lineup Nick Nurse throws out there. His lineup has varied. He started Eric Gordon over Caleb Martin the last time he had the opportunity to. So we'll see what lineup he puts out there. But really, the offensive flow and how they get started is really important, because these possessions without Paul George now in the preseason, to me, become very important possessions. I'd imagine they haven't had much time in practice to practice without PG in these main lineups, and now they get a chance to do it in not real gameplay, live simulated gameplay, but not games that matter towards them in records and in standings. That is a small, small silver lining in this of when it happened, is they do have two games, not scrimmages, not inter-squads, two actual exhibition games to play and kind of test these lineups without PG and see what works. So that's going to be important to see how they come out and who sets the tone. And to that point, as much as we love Playmaker Maxey, as much as I love Playmaker Maxey, and even to my dad, much score Maxey, he's got to evolve now to tone setter Maxey. Like, the offense now is going to flow through him in a much more kind of important way, in a way that he has even more responsibility, not just to get his shot off, but now he really has to get his teammates going and make others better around him. I think he's capable of doing that, but with no PG and right now with no Embiid to kind of, you know, lean on, it's going to be all him to kind of get the offense going. Scoring and facilitating is going to run through him, and he's got to get the offense going damn near on a nightly basis now. He's going to have to kickstart. It's going to have to go with him. It's going to have to be Mad Max from start to finish. And Reese, hey, man, you said that you were preparing to, you know, for these games where you're not going to have your co-stars. I didn't think you were going to, you didn't think you were going to have to kind of employ those lessons as soon as this, but time's now. So, you know, we're going to see how Maxey kind of does that, how the offense comes out to start. The second thing I want to watch for is Kelly Oubre. It's going to have to be kind of a next man up mentality with no PG in the interim, right? Especially when it comes to the scoring end. And while I do kind of expect the scoring to mostly be replaced collectively, right? Kind of a strength in numbers thing, from who's going to supplement the scoring with no PG. I think Kelly Oubre is going to be the biggest and most important piece to that. I think he's going to have to be the person who steps up and is now going to be looked for to be more of a scorer in the offense. And instead of just doing the little things, Kelly Oubre is going to have to make sure that he's taking and making open shots on a consistent basis, at the very least when Paul George isn't there. And even if he continues when Paul George comes back, that's an added bonus for the Sixers. If you remember last year, Kelly Oubre, before his injury, he came off, he was starting coming off the bench and being a very good scoring option off the bench, giving a couple of 20-point games to start the season last year. And before injuries happened and before lineups got reshuffled, Kelly Oubre was thought to be in the sixth man of the year conversation out the gate to start the season. Like, that's how Kelly Oubre started last year before his season got, you know, kind of derailed to an injury. So he's got that in him, and he's going to have to go from that to maybe at some point of this season, a top two or three scoring option on this team. Like, that's what Kelly Oubre is going to have to blossom to in these times that we have no PG. And for when we have no Embiid, we have no timetable for Embiid's return. So I'm just got to prepare for that. And especially if you're a guy like Kelly Oubre, that's how you prepare to step up in that kind of role. So for what it's worth, he was tied for the Sixers' lead in scoring in Atlanta against the Hawks. So I'm glad he stepped up in the moment. Him and Maxey were tied with 14 points against the Hawks in Atlanta. So that's, you know, that's good for Kelly Oubre. But, you know, that's going to have to continue. He was also the third leading scorer in the Wolves game in their first preseason game, their first real preseason game that was behind PG and Maxey. So he's going to have to stay right in that pocket. That's where he's going to have to live. He can't really, you know, go below that too often, or the Sixers are going to have a really tough time keeping pace, you know, without their two stars for however long that happens. So KO, you're going to have to step up, big dog. Let's see it. third and final thing that I'm watching for in the Sixers preseason game against the Brooklyn Nets is Ricky Council. Y'all remember Ricky Council? Right? Y'all remember the promising young you know, swing player, Ricky Council, the last few years? I feel like we've forgotten about him a little bit. Jerry McCain has been getting all the headlines, you know, from the youth movement, from the Sixers camp, from the national media, from everybody. Well, where's Ricky? Well, where's all the noise for Ricky? McCain was thought of to maybe crack the rotation this season, but that maybe may not be a maybe anymore, right? With a team full of vets, and let's face it, old guys, the younger players are going to have to be ready to step up at a moment's notice. And we're already seeing that kind of having to already come into plan, right? Everyone's bumped up a notch in the roster now. And I haven't been too blown away by what I've seen from Ricky Council in the preseason, right? You can go look up the stats for yourself. There's nothing eye-popping about them. They're kind of lackluster, to be honest. And, you know, Ricky Council is the back half of that. We have young players that can really supplement all these vets on this roster. Well, not if the young players aren't producing like that. Not if the rookie is outplaying you. And it's being reflected in the opportunities that they're getting. It's not a coincidence that we're seeing more and more of Jerry McCain. Jerry McCain hasn't faded into the background. At this point, in the latter part of the preseason, we have to take that for something. Jerry McCain has played more minutes than Ricky Council in every preseason game that matters to me. The breakers don't matter to me. It's really hard to even look up those stats. Against the Wolves, Celtics, and Hawks, Jerry McCain has played more minutes than Ricky Council in every one of those games. Against the Wolves, Jerry McCain, 15 minutes. Ricky Council, 14 minutes. Against the Celtics, Jerry McCain, 32 minutes. Ricky Council, just 24 minutes. Against the Hawks, 16 minutes for Jerry McCain. Ricky Council, only 12 minutes. And that Celtics game is very important to me because that was the entire second unit all getting their chance at the same time against the Celtics. So whoever the cream rose to the top in that game, the guys who were producing the most in Nick Nurse's eyes were going to continue to get the opportunities. The Rook got 32 minutes. Ricky Council got 24. And that's the game Ricky Council is supposed to be the best player for the Sixers on the floor. That's the game Ricky Council is supposed to lead that unit. And what got lost in the praise for Jerry McCain was a little bit of disappointment for Ricky Council, right? So eyes on Ricky against the Nets. You got to show me something, Ricky. And the Nets are a great team to do that against. I say this because I believe that Ricky Council can be some kind of a spark for the Sixers, can maintain the 9th, 10th spot in the rotation. But it can be taken by the rookie if we continue to see this, or taken by somebody if Ricky doesn't continue to play. So, Ricky, let's see what you got tonight when you get the opportunity to play against the Brooklyn Nets. But those are my three things to watch for: how the offense flows without PG to start, Kelly Oubre stepping up, and Ricky Council showing me something. We'll see what the Sixers do tonight against the Brooklyn Nets, 7 p.m. at the Wells Fargo Center. I'm out, and I will see you guys in 24 hours.